From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, December 17th. Coming up, women make up a third of new hunters but are still facing barriers in the sport. We'll hear how hunter demographics are changing. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Officials in Urbana are weighing a proposal that would require the city's police department to get approval before it can use surveillance technology. IPM student reporter Madison Holcomb has more from last night's city council meeting.
The ordinance would apply to tools like license plate readers, facial recognition software, and others used to access a mobile device. The idea to require that law enforcement get permission to use that technology comes after years of discussions about increasing transparency. Danielle Chenoweth, a local activist, says she supports the ordinance, but she thinks it's a good idea for the city to take its time and give more people a chance to learn about it.
I think Urbana needs to think very hard and very carefully about how to craft a regulatory framework for police surveillance technologies that's really in the public interest.
The city council tabled the measure. That allows them to consider changes and bring it up for a vote at a future meeting. I'm Madison Holcomb, IPM News.
Another member of the Champaign Unit 4 school board has resigned. Sam Banks is the third member to leave the board this year. He sent his resignation letter on Sunday evening, citing a personal matter and unproductive dynamics in the group. Banks said he didn't see any opportunity to improve operations on the board. The other two resignations happened in the spring, and Banks was appointed to fill one of the seats. In March, some board members repeatedly walked out over disagreements on how to fill the vacancy, pushing the Champaign-Ford County Regional Office of Education to step in. The office vetted the candidates and chose the final appointees. Unit 4 School Board President Giannina Baker said in a statement that the board has 60 days to fill the vacancy left by Banks' resignation. The group will decide on that process at the next board meeting. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is encouraging residents to get vaccinated as cases of pertussis or whooping cough are on the rise in the community. So far, there have been 26 cases of whooping cough reported in Champaign County this year, primarily among high school and college students. Public health officials say nationally there are six times as many cases of the disease this year as there were at this time in 2023. Dawn Carson is with the health district. She says vaccinations are especially important to keep young children healthy.
We see much higher rates of hospitalization and even occasionally death in infants under 1 year of age. And so by vaccinating yourself, you're helping to protect the more vulnerable people in our community.
Pertussis starts out appearing like a cold but can quickly progress to severe coughing. The disease spreads primarily through coughing and sneezing. An Illinois lawmaker wants to limit the role artificial intelligence plays in denying people health care coverage. Alex Degman reports.
Democratic State Representative Bob Morgan's bill creates the Artificial Intelligence Systems Use in Health Insurance Act. It says humans must meaningfully review any denial, reduction, or termination in benefits for Illinois policyholders that resulted from AI. Morgan says AI is here to stay, and it's important to set parameters now.
If you're going to have your health care denied, it should be done by somebody only who has a healthcare background. But instead, we run the risk of AI stepping into those shoes.
Morgan introduced the measure a few days before Thanksgiving. He doesn't know if there's enough time to address it before lawmakers adjourn in January, but says he'll introduce a new version this spring. I'm Alex Degman.
Illinois' state climatologist says weather conditions last month were mild and led to one of the warmest Novembers on record. Trent Ford with the Illinois State Water Survey says several places around the state saw temperatures rise into the high 70s in early to mid-November, including 79 degrees in Decatur. But a big cold front brought cooler temperatures to the state around Thanksgiving. The last few days of November saw Illinois temperatures drop to 5 to 15 degrees below normal. Looking at your forecast from meteorologist Andrew Pritchard, for today, mostly sunny, a high of 47 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight and a low of 33 degrees. Coming up, we'll learn how hunter demographics are changing. Women make up a third of new hunters. That story is coming up, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 47 degrees and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight and a low of 33 degrees, a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, a chance of rain in the morning, becoming partly sunny in the afternoon with a high of 40 degrees, a northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 22 degrees, a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Thursday, partly cloudy with a high of 38 degrees and a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, a conversation with Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin on Donald Trump's return to the White House and the Democrats' return to the minority in the Senate. Plus, two Illinois-based movie critics review 2024 in film. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The number of hunters in the U.S. has been on the decline since the 1980s. White men still represent the majority of hunters. But many Midwest states and outdoor organizations are trying to reach groups that haven't historically participated in hunting. As Harvest Public Media contributor Teresa Holmesey reports, women represent a growing demographic of hunters.
It's Michigan's opening day of the deer firearm season, and Charlene Goronsky is decked out in camo. We hear gunshots nearby, but don't see any deer. After 50 years of hunting, Goronsky knows that it takes patience. She shot her first rabbit when she was just 12 years old with her Uncle Bob.
That was our special thing.
Goronsky says she doesn't know for sure why her uncle chose her instead of her brothers or sisters. But she suspects he noticed blood and guts didn't bother her.
I think that was part of it because he didn't like to clean the animals. Yeah, he was squeamish. Yes, and I wasn't.
In its first ever national survey on outdoor recreation from 1955, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reported that roughly 4% of hunters were women. That number has climbed to around 22%. But the gender gap is still pretty wide.
Whether that has to do with it being a traditionally male-dominated field or just lack of representation, women get intimidated by the subject matter.
Jess Rice is the founder of Wilderness. That's with an H. It's an organization that began in Missouri and hosts regular events for women to get together and hunt. Rice grew up hunting and knows how empowering it can be.
All I've ever wanted out of this is to show people what this incredible world has to offer us. Because all of it, at the end of the day, relates back to conservation.
Many states want more female hunters and see them as an untapped market. That's because a smaller percentage of Americans hunt today compared to 50 years ago. And hunting licenses provide a lot of funding for conservation programs in the U.S. Fewer hunters can also hurt wildlife management. Swanee Evans is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says 33% of new entrants are women. But that's not having as big of a long-term shift on who hunts.
Females in general, they don't tend to hunt as consistently. They tend to be a little bit less avid. And then they have a tendency to drop out more.
In surveys, Evan says women report a lack of time and access to public land as the top barriers, as well as intimidation and safety concerns. Rice, the founder of Wilderness, says for a lot of women, childcare takes up their free time.
We have found offering mom and me opportunities is another way to help those experiences stick. Because if mama gets on board, typically the rest of the family is going to get on board.
Rice and other women say a safe, non-competitive environment is important to build confidence among female hunters. Rachel Alice coordinates the Becoming an Outdoors Woman program through the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. The organization, with chapters in most states, hosts workshops for women to learn the ropes and feel less overwhelmed, like when buying hunting equipment.
The whole focus is to just create a pretty inviting space where like-minded ladies can ask those questions, like, how did you go up to that gun counter?
Alice says she had to overcome her own reservations about hunting. She was a vegetarian for more than a decade before she moved to the Midwest. Then 5 years ago, a coworker invited her to go hunting.
There was a lot of soul searching. Can I identify as this? Can I put on social media to my vegetarian East Coast friends that I did this thing?
But Alice says she got excited about harvesting fresh meat for friends and family. And now she's helping other women do the same. Back in Michigan, Charlene Goronsky says she taught her daughter to hunt, who is now in turn teaching her daughter. Goronsky says her granddaughter will happily shoot her crossbow while wearing a poofy princess dress.
And she's really a girly girl, but she likes to do that stuff too, so.
Goronsky says passing on her knowledge brings her pride as a mom, grandma, and a hunter. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Teresa Holmesy.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Madison Holcomb, Emily Hayes, Analika Ochuba, Alex Degman, Jim Meadows, and Teresa Holmesy. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.